بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue reading from the first principle the author he has mentioned, Ma'rifatu al-Abdi Rabbahu, the fact that the servant, he must know who his Lord is. We have been reading from the evidences that the author he has mentioned about knowing Allah Azza wa Jal by his signs and his creation, and likewise in his revelation and legislation. We continue reading the author. Now he says, وَالرَّبُّ هُوَ الْمَعْبُودُ والدليل قوله تعالى يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله that الرب, he is the al-ma'bud. He is the ma'bud. He is the one who is worshipped. Yani meaning that he is the one who is worthy of worship. Al-Rabb huwa al-ma'bud. Al-ma'bud yani al-ma'lu. The one who is deified and worshipped with love and with magnification and veneration. The one who was worshipped alone subhanah. Al-Rabb huwa al-ma'bud. Yani huwa ladhi yastihiqu al-ibada. Wahdahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Lord, the Rabb, He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. He is the one who is worshipped in truth. And the evidence for this, as we know the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is upon the methodology of the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnati wal-Jama'ah, the ulama of as-salif as-salih, and their methodology is they mention the mas'ala bidaliliha, the issue and the deen along with its evidence. So he says here, al-Rabbu huwa al-ma'bud, that the Lord, He is the one who is worshipped, and in truth, and the one who deserves to be worshipped. And the evidence for this is the statement of Allah the Most High, O mankind, verily Allah, He says, the meaning of which is, O mankind, worship your Lord. Worship your Lord. U'budu Rabbakum. And this is the shahid for the author he's mentioning here. It's very clear. Ar-Rabb huwa al-Ma'bud. The Lord, the Rabb, He is the one who is worshipped. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in calling out to all mankind, U'budu Rabbakum, worship your Rabb, worship your Lord. Even the one who deserves to be worshipped, and the one who is worthy of worship, and the one who is worshipped in truth, Subhana, He is the Rabb, Ar-Rabbu huwa al-Ma'bud, bihaq, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Rabb and the Ma'bud, He is the one who created you. And those who before you, who created you and those before you, so that you may be righteous and pious, so that you may fear Him. So that you may fear Him by believing in Him and by complying to His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions. So that you may fear Him by believing in Him and drawing near to Him in a manner that He has legislated. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And then he mentioned also subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifying again this right that He is the ma'bud, the Rabb, He is the ma'bud. He says He is the one who has made for you the earth spread out, and He has made the heavens likewise with the skies a canopy over you, and He has sent down from the clouds water, and He has brought out by way of that water fruits for you. So do not set up partners with Allah Azza wa Jal and worship while you know. Meaning while you know that He alone is the one who created you, and He alone is the one who created all things, and He is alone is the one who is providing for His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He alone is the one who is disposing of the affairs. So just as you know that He alone is the one doing this, so do not set up partners likewise with Him in worship. Do not set up partners with Him in worship. The author, he says, Qal ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, Al-Khaliqu li hadhihi al-ashya' هو المستحق للعبادة. The creator for all of these things, He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. The creator for all of these things, and in reference to the verse, in reference to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who has made the earth spread out for you, firashan, meaning it's vast and it's spread out and it's already there and it's provided. Naam, and the people benefit from it, and they walk upon it, and they go through, they go about it, and they plant crops, and they reap vegetables and fruits and the likes, and their food and vegetation, and their livelihood is in the land and the earth that is already provided for them. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who has provided that for them and created that for them. Likewise, the heaven is a canopy above their heads, and He has also sent from the heavens water, and from those clouds in the sky. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's bringing out with that water, by way of that water, fruits, also vegetables and all types of benefit and good in the crops and in the herbs. And then He clarifies for you, He does this for you. Naam, so do not set up partners. So the statement of Ibn Kathir, this is very clear. Al-Khaliqu li hadhihi al-ashya, huwa al-mustahiqqu lil-ibadah. The one who created all of these things, the sky and the heavens, the clouds and the rain, the sun and the moon, the people and the trees, the animals and the fish and the sea, so on and so forth. This is the one who is worthy of worship. He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. If we see this verse, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He began, Ya ayyuha an-nas, O mankind, calling out to mankind. This chapter or this verse is in chapter Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah. But if a person were begin to reading it, and this is the very first time one of Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has used the nidah, whenever many times in the Quran Allah will say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O ya ayyuhal nas, O ya ayyuhal kafirun, O ya ahl al-kitab, Ya ayyuhal nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many times this harf al-nidah is the particle of calling, it's being used. This is the first nidah and the calling out to the people in the Quran. And it begins in this manner, Ya ayyuhan nas, and it's a call to all mankind. But if we look at these verses before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He began His book by mentioning the attributes of the righteous. And then after that, He mentioned the attributes of the disbelievers. And then after that, He mentioned several verses with regards to the attributes of the hypocrites. And these are the three types of people in this life. The people are either believers or they're disbelievers. Any clear believers or clear disbelievers. And then there are people in between that claim to be believers, but they're really not believers. They're concealing in their heart that which they do not show. They conceal their true belief, and that is disbelief in Allah Azza wa Jal. While they claim to be believers, they're called munafiqun. Al-munafiqun, the hypocrites. Any the true hypocrites in the creed and in the belief. Iyadhan billah. But also the hypocrite, there's another type of hypocrisy, and it's in the action. And a person can be a believer and he would have traits of hypocrisy. In any case, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned all of these characteristics here in the beginning of His book. And then after mentioning these characteristics or these categories, the characteristics of these people in these three categories, then He called all mankind to worship Him alone. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. Worship your Lord who created you. All of them, calling the believers, and likewise calling the disbelievers, and likewise calling the hypocrites to worship Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, this is the very first command in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only is it the first call and nida', but also it's the first command, and it's the command for at-tawheed. And also this tawheed, this is the first thing that all of the prophets, they commanded their nations with. Likewise, ya qawmi, i'budu allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. All of the prophets, they mentioned the same command. So the Prophet Allah Azza wa Jalla, He began His book calling all mankind, the first call to all mankind. And that call is to worship Him alone. And likewise, all of the prophets and messengers that were sent to mankind, their call was the same call. Ya qawmi, u'budu allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. Oh my people, this is what Salih said. And before them, Nuh, he said that, and Salih, and Shu'aib. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned their stories, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, in His book, the first thing that they called them to, and Hud likewise, to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone with no partners. So we see that this is the greatest obligation, and this is the greatest right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone. And the evidence from that is clear. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions and clarifies that many times in His book, in this manner. He's using and clarifying His right to be worshipped, that He is the Ma'bud, because He is the Rabb. The Rabb is the Ma'bud, just as the author is mentioning. And we have seen in the previous classes that the Rabb is the one who has the Rububiyyah. He is the one who has the Lordship and the dominion in His hand. And He is the one who has created all things and provided for them their shape and their form. And He is the one who has authority over His creation. And nothing happens in His dominion except with His permission. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is the indication that He is the one who's worthy of worship alone. He has no partners in these affairs. Hu al-Ma'bud. Ar-Rabb, Hu al-Ma'bud. Just as the author he has mentioned. These are from the favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and likewise from His signs. Likewise from His signs. And it's amazing how He begins His book in this manner, and then calling mankind to ponder directly over this. First, He mentioned the traits of the people. We see that some people, they're believers, and some people, they're good. Other people, they're disbelievers, and they reject faith, and they're clear about that. And others, they are in between. Mudhabdhabina. Mudhabdhabina. La ilaha ula'i wa la ilaha ula'i. Munafiqoon. Now that they're hypocrites, and this is the reality of mankind. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He called all of them to believe in Him and to worship Him alone. And then He clarified the reason why He's worthy of worship, that He is the Rabb, that He is the Creator. He is the one who has made the earth like this, spread out, vast and wide, full of trees and full of plants, full of vegetation, all of them different colors, all of them different flavors. Some of them are sweet and some of them are bitter, yet all of them are provided from the same water. This one is red and this one is green. This one is purple and this one is yellow. And so on and so forth. This is all from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, indicating that He's worthy of worship. And He has made the heavens likewise. Wa as-sama'a bina'an. The first word, the word sama'a is being used twice in this verse. Wa as-sama'a bina'an wa anzala min as-sama'i ma'an. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has made the sky as a canopy. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned this in other verses. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءِ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. That we have made the heavens as a canopy that is guarded and protected. And then Allah, He says, وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهِ مُعْرِضُونَ. But they are turning away from His verses. And this is a sign that there's a heaven above our heads. That this heaven above our heads is standing there and is strong and is firm and there is no tears in it. And it's perfect in its creation and its structure. And it's very beneficial for our life and for our well-being. And it's very strong, and there are no pillars there that we can see. There are no pillars there that we can see. These are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then if we think on top of that, then the water that we are in need of, the water that we drink, plus very beneficial for the human being and for his animals and for his life. It comes from the sky. It comes from the sky. The scholars, they mentioned, the majority of the Mufassirun, they said that as-sama' wa anzala min as-sama'i ma'an. As-sama' here is referring to the clouds. Is referring to the clouds. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He built the sky, the heavens, strong as a canopy, protecting His creation. And then from the clouds He sends water. And then from that water, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings out fruits and vegetation. He brings out fruits and vegetation. But then why? رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. As a provision for you. As a provision for you. And an act of kindness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many verses Allah Azza wa Jal, He calls mankind to ponder over these things and to realize His reality, so he can know that Allah, His Creator, is worthy of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, فَلْيَنْظُرْ الْإِنسَانُ. Let the human being look at his food. A person, sometimes he eats food all the time, maybe lunch, breakfast and dinner, even between that. But does he ponder over his food? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands us, فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِنسَانُ إِلَى طَعَامِ. Let the human being look at his food. Where did it come from? إِنَّا صَبَابَنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّ ثُمَّ شَقَقَنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ. For example, somebody, he had a sandwich today, maybe. The bread, where did it come from? Where did the bread come from? What is the origin of the bread? Wheat. What is that? It's a plant. Where does it come from? The earth. From inside the earth, there's a seed. And then the water, what happens? Allah, He sends the water from the sky. And the sky goes into the ground. I mean, the water goes into the ground. And then the seed of the wheat, it splits. And then it grows and it comes out. And there's wheat there and barley. So on and so forth. And then we take that and we benefit from that in many different aspects. And we eat it and we turn it into food and we turn it into bread and we turn it into cake and we turn it into all different types of beneficial provision that is coming from the sky. Then it's coming from the ground. أَنَّ صَبَبَنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّ وَثُمَّ شَقَقَنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّ وَعِنَبًا وَخَضْبًا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبًّا مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. As a provision for you. A provision for you. All these fruits and vegetables and apples and peaches and pears. Some of them are on trees. coming down. Some of them are coming up from the ground, like the potatoes and the carrots. They're coming from roots and the likes, and other ones they're growing from a tree and falling off of it. In this manner, the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is very beautiful. All indicating these are signs of His greatness, that He is the Rabb, and that the Rabb, He is the one who is worthy of worship. He is the one who is worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the evidence here. The statement of the author, he mentioned Qari ibn Kathir. Ibn Kathir, his name, his kunya, Abu al-Fida. He's known as Imaduddin Abu al-Fida Ismail ibn Umar ibn Kathir al-Qurashi al-Dimashqi. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 774. He's from those great scholars and students of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and from the great scholars of al-Islam and of Ahl sunnah. And he is a mufassir, muhaddith, mu'arrikh, faqih, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was very versed in many, many aspects of the deen. He is well known for his tafsir, but also he is also well known in hadith as well. And also likewise, he has from the greatest works of history, Islamic history. He has a great book. Who knows the name of that book? Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. We'll say it's about that long. About this long. And it's very big books, beginning from the, he mentioned the Bidayah of the creation. And what has been mentioned with that, all the way to the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned after that some of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the generations after him, all the way to his time, all the way to his time, rahimahullahu ta'ala. The year after year, the events that occurred in that year, and mentioning likewise the narrations that go along with that, and the things that are related to this. A great scholar, the author, he's mentioning here one of his statements. الخالق لهذه الأشياء هو المستحق للعبادة. The one who created these things. And you're referring to that verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. I did some research trying to find this statement of Ibn Kathir, and I was not able to find it in this wording. But if we look in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir in this portion here, we see that he mentioned this verse, and he said, referring to another verse. And this is the way of the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, that they will interpret the verses with the understanding of other verses. And that's the first way to understand the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then after that, with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then after that, with the athar of the Sahaba, and then the Tabi'een, and so on and so forth. And then... The Arabic language, then the Arabic language. These are the masadir of tafsir. First, they will be explaining the Quran by the Quran. And then after that, the Quran, explaining the Quran with the Sunnah. And then if there's after that, then the Quran by the athar of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And then if after that, the Arabic language in this order. We don't put the Arabic language before that. And we would not rely upon the Arabic language before the understanding of the Quran. Rather, it comes following in the end. It comes following along with these things. Many people have been misled because they understand the verses according to the Arabic language without referring back to the other verses in the Quran, or without referring back to the Sunnah, or without referring back to the narrations of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. So these would come first. And then after that, also understanding and using the Arabic language and the language of the Arabs as a means to interpret and understand the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he mentioned, he says, the verse that resembles this verse the most is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, اللَّهُ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He mentioned the verse that's in Surah Al-Ghafir, that Allah, he says, Allah, He is the one who has made the earth for you as a dwelling place and an abode. And He has made the heavens for you as a canopy, built it strong. And He is the one who has given you your forms and your shapes. And He has perfected your shapes and made them very nice and well. And this is something that is amazing. If we look at the human being, that verily there are signs in the human being that indicate the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the form and the shape of the human being. how it is so much better than the rest of the animals, and how his shape is perfect, and his hands are in the most beneficial place, and his thumb, and his ears, his eyes, and his heart, and his mind, how he can think and comprehend and understand and reflect, and then he can speak. The other animals, they do not have this ability like this, and they have emotion. Human being, he has emotions and feelings, and the likes. All of this is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So warakum فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَرَكُمْ. He has formed you. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He gave us our shape and our form. Some of them are white and some of them are black. Some of them have light skin and some of them have dark skin. Some of them are tall and some of them are short, so on and so forth. Some of them live a long time and they're old. Others, they're young and they die before they reach puberty. May Allah give us and our families a long life upon His obedience. But these are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He is the one who done that. He is the one who gave us our shape and our form. He is the one who put the nose on the face of the people, and the ears on the side, and the lips, they have two of them. Now, Allah, He mentioned about this likewise, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That verily we have created the human being in the best form, and the best shape, and the best form. The nose and the eyes are on the face, not in the back of the head, not on the belly, not on the chest. Everything is in a perfect manner and a shape beneficial for the human being to see and to go through life. Such a great creator, Tabarakallahu Rabbul Alameen, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Then he calls the believers and he calls mankind to look at these things and to understand. And then he provides you with the good of the provision. And he says, ذَٰلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. That is Allah. The one who did these things, that is Allah. He is your Lord. Now nothing else is the Lord. Jesus is not the Lord. Now Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, He's not the Lord. He's the creation. Like they claim in these lands, Jesus is the Lord. We see it hanging on signs. And we see them claiming that. This is falsehood. This is falsehood. Allah, ذَٰلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. Allah, He's the Lord. The one who sends the rain from the sky. The one who gave us our shape and our form. But a believer, he pays attention to that verse in Surah At-Teen. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla created the human being in the best form, in the best shape. And then after that, he caused him to be from the lowest of the low. Meaning, because the majority of the people, they reject faith. They reject belief, and they reject their Lord, and they disbelieve in Him, and they disbelieve, and they do not appreciate the blessings that He has provided for them. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who believe and work righteous deeds. So iman and righteous deeds is the key for success, and the way out of being from the lowest of the low. And everyone without faith or without righteous deeds together, they are the losers that we have seen before. So Ibn Kathir, he mentioned this verse here. He mentioned this verse whenever he's explaining the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. And then after he says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ أَنُّهُ الْخَالِقُ الرَّازِقُ مَالِكُ الدَّارِ وَسَاكِنِيهَا وَرَازِقُهُمْ فَبِهَذَا يَسْتِحِقُ أَنْ يُعْبَدَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا يُشْرَكَ بِهِ غَيْرُهُ وَلِهَذَا قَالَ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So he mentioned here Ibn Kathir, and what we find in his tafsir, the actual wording, he said, and what this means or what this indicates is that He is the creator and He is the sustainer. And He is the Lord, or He is the master and the owner of the abode, and likewise those who dwell therein. And He is the one who provides for them. So because of this, فَبِهَذَا يَسْتِحِقُ أَنْ يُعْبَدَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا يُشْرَكَ مَعَهُ غَيْرُهُ. That He is the one who deserves to be worshipped, and that no one should be set up as a partner with Him whatsoever in that worship. This is the wording that I have found. So possibly, and Allah knows best, the author, he mentioned the statement of Ibn Kathir by its meaning. وَخَالِقُ هَذِهِ الْأَشْيَاءُ هُوَ الْمُسْتِحِقُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ. And this is the meaning of the statement here, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned. And this is the truth, and this is the case. And this is what he referred to in these verses, that the one who created all of these things, the one who is the master and the Lord of the universe, and who has created everything and given it its shape and its form, and the one who is providing for this life and the abode of this world and those therein, He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. Because of this, he said, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So do not set up partners with Allah Azza wa Jal while you know. This is also the first prohibition. So if we see in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the first call, is the call to all mankind. Following that call is the first commandment. And that is the commandment for all mankind to worship them, to worship Him alone. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned that the meaning of this verse, وَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ أَيْ وَحِدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَحِدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. And he mentioned likewise, it's been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that every place in the Quran where it's a command, there's a command for ibadah, this is a command for tawheed. Every time, whenever Allah, He mentions al-ibadah, u'budu allaha, fa'abuduhu, wastabir, like this, this means any wahidhu. Wahidu rabbakum. That's the meaning. Because we know that the reality of ibadah, there is no ibadah except with tawheed. And anybody who worship Allah Azza wa Jal and somebody else along with him, he's not really worshiping Allah. Because this was the reality of the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They worshipped Allah and they worshipped other than Allah along with him. And Allah Azza wa Jal did not consider them to be worshipping him. And their actions was not considered ibadah. And their actions were rejected. And they were considered disbelievers. You have your way and I have mine. They have their way and we have ours. So their way of shirk is not considered ibadah. So the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma again, that every place in the Quran where there's a commandment for ibadah, this is a commandment for tawheed. So the meaning of this verse, as he mentioned radiallahu anhuma, u'budu rabbakum, ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum, yani wahidu rabbakum. O mankind, single out your Lord alone for worship. And he worship Allah alone. Worship Allah, meaning worship Him alone with tawheed, without associating any partners with Him whatsoever. So again, we see that he began, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his call, the call to all mankind, the first call in the book. The first time we see, ya, like for example, we say, ya Muhammad, ya Zayd, like this. This is the particle of calling. Allah, he uses that many times in his book, as we know. The first time it's used, it's addressing all mankind. And then after that address for all mankind is the commandment to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Naam. So then if a person, he said, what is the first call? Who is the first call Allah addresses in His book? All mankind. What did He address them with? And what is the first commandment? If we're to open the book and to search from one page to the next and look for the first command, what would it be? The command for Tawheed. And then if we were to continue and ask ourselves, what is the first prohibition? And the same page on the next verse, the prohibition of shirk. This is all an indication of the greatness of Tawheed and the great right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also the danger of shirk. Also, if we were to ask ourselves, what is the first thing that the messengers began with? All of the prophets and messengers that Allah, He sent, from the first of them, Nuh alayhi salam, all the way to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did they begin their call with? Tawheed. Tawheed, at-tawheed. So this is the way clarifying the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Mu'adh, he said, Ya Mu'adh, atadri ma haqqu Allahi ala al-ibad, wa haqqu al-ibadi ala Allah. Naam, he said, O Mu'adh, do you know the right of Allah upon the servants and the right of the servants upon Allah? And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he says, Allahu wa rasuluhu alam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed him, he said, Inna haqqu Allahi ala al-ibadi, an ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay'a. This is the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the right. He is the Lord. He is the Rabb. He is the Ma'bud. He is the one who's worthy of worship alone with no partners. Anything that's worship besides Him is worship in falsehood and not worthy. And not worthy of worship. They do not send the rain from the sky. They do not split the seed and cause the herbs to grow and cause the wheat grains to grow. They do not provide they do not provide for the creation. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's the provider for the creation. He is the one who is worthy of worship. He is the one who's worthy of worship. At this time that this is established and it's clear, then it's very beneficial for our believer now to say, what is worship? Because of this, any of the author, he goes on to the next point. He says, وَأَنْوَعُ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِثْلُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَمِنْهَا الدُّعَاءُ وَالْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءُ وَالتَّوَكُّلُ وَالرَّغْبَةُ وَالرَّهْبَةُ وَالْخُشُوعُ وَالْخَشْيَةُ والإنابة والاستعانة والاستعاذة والاستغاثة والذبح والنذر وغير ذلك من أنواع العبادة التي أمر الله بها كلها لله تعالى والدليل قوله تعالى وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا. Then the author, he mentions now, after clarifying this, that Allah, He's the Rabb. And the Rabb, He is the Ma'bud, the one who is worshipped in truth, and the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. Then he clarifies the different types of ibadah. The different types of ibadah. that ibadah is not all one type, but rather there are many different aspects and realities of al-ibadah. And he mentions here, وَأَنْوَاعُ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا, the types of worship that Allah has commanded. There's a benefit there, that Allah has commanded. The types of worship that he wants to clarify now, the types of worship that Allah has commanded. And that means that there are some actions of worship or considered to be worship that Allah did not command. That Allah did not command. And then to clarify that ibadah is something that Allah commands. So then it has to be according to Allah's legislation. It has to be according to what Allah has allowed. It has to be according to what Allah is pleased with, not according to what the people like. Naam, ibadah is something that Allah commands. It's His right. أَنْوَاعُ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا. Because there are people who claim to be worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, but they're not worshipping Him. Either because they have lost one of the conditions, or they have lost both of the conditions. Either because they did not worship Him with ikhlas, or because they did not worship Him with mutaba'ah, or they did not worship Him with either one of them. But in any case, al-ibadah is something that Allah commands. This is what this indicates here. And wa al-ibadah allati amara Allahu biha. Naam, because, and he began with al-islam and al-iman wal-ihsan, and these are the greatest acts of worship. And al-islam is ibadah, and taqwa is ibadah, and tawheed is ibadah. These words, they are, and al-istiqamah, these are words that have different meanings, but they have the same, they entail the same idea. And the one who is upon taqwa, he's upon ibadah. The one who's upon ibadah, he is upon al-tawheed. The one who's upon tawheed, he has al-istiqamah. Like this, there's no istiqamah without ibadah, or tawheed, or taqwa. All of these are words, they have different meanings, but they are synonyms. They're similar in their understanding. And al-islam is ibadah, with tawheed, with taqwa, with iman, with ihsan. So he mentioning here, beginning with these three particularly, this is the deen entirely. Al-Islam, wal-Iman, wal-Ihsan. Rather, these are the levels of the deen. And the author, he will mention this aspect of ibadah in detail, one by one. Yani maratib al-deen, al-Islam, wal-Iman, wal-Ihsan. But al-Islam, the foundation of ibadah. And this is something that has to be, as the author is indicating, from that which Allah has commanded. From that which Allah has commanded. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned about Islam, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, that verily I am pleased with Islam as your religion. So Islam is something that Allah is pleased with, but it's not the Islam of the people as they like, or how they make it up, or how they think, or whatever their desires like, but rather the Islam that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again as Allah has commanded. And as was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as was practiced and applied and learned by the companions. And this is the Islam that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the Islam that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, likewise, He mentioned, وَأَمَرَ لَهُمْ أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Do those people who worship Allah, those people who worship Allah Azza wa Jal in a manner not in the manner that Allah has commanded. Allah asked them, do they have partners that have legislated that have legislated for them in the religion that which Allah did not allow? So the worship, the point is here, is that worship is something that Allah has legislated, something that He has commanded, and He has allowed His servants to draw near to Him by way of. That worship, ibadah, is something that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has legislated and clarified. And He has allowed His servants to draw near to Him by way of that. Naam, as for the ways that He did not legislate, then He did not allow for the people to try to seek nearness to Him by way of these other ways that He did not legislate. And they will not be a means to draw near to Him. So ibadah is something that Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated and clarified. It is something that Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed. أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. That there must be an idhn for ibadah. Al-ibadah, the ulama, they clarify, is tawqifiyah, something that requires an evidence. And the origin with regards to ibadah is not permissible. Ibadah must only be in a manner that is legislated. There is a text in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And this is the foundation with regards to this. This is the foundation with regards to this. Ibadah, likewise, it has a meaning and it has a way. And actually, the ulama, they mentioned that ibadah, and he was saying worships, huh? worship. Ibadah is worship. But the ulama, they mentioned it has two understandings. The word ibadah, it has two. There's two realities or ways to understand this word, al-ibadah. The first way would be at-ta'abud. That at-ta'abud, the verb, actually performing an act of worship, the state of a person worshiping. And then the other meaning is al-muta'abbadu bihi. So we have the meaning at-ta'abud, which is the fi'l, yani al-ibadah. And then also ibadah has another meaning, which means al-muta'abbadu bihi. That which is a means or used as an act of worship. So we have the action of the person or the state of a person while he's worshiping, and then we have actions that he worships Allah with. So they have different reality. We have different reality. Naam, and both of them have a correct understanding. So we see this, that some of the ulama, they have defined ibadah according to each aspect. According to each aspect. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that ibadah in his definition is ghayatul hubbi ma'a ghayatul dhulli wal khudu', that it is the peak of love, the epitome of love, along with the peak of submission and surrender. That this is ibadah. This is ibadah. This is very beneficial to understand. And this is the state that a person should be in whenever he worships Allah Azza wa Jal. Not in a state of heedlessness, or not in a state of arrogance, or not in a state of pride, or not in a state of showing off for the creation, but rather in a state of submission and humbleness. Now how does the servant worship? He worships with love. This is the first case. Ghayatu al-hub, that he's at the peak of love. Meaning that he loves Allah, the one whom he's worshiping, more than everything else. More than he loves himself, and more than he loves his family and his wealth and all of mankind. He loves Allah Azza wa Jal the most, and that's why he worships him. He worships him out of love, because he's the Rabb, the Rabbul Alameen. So everything that he has from the time he is created and in the womb of his woman, he's been provided by, has been provided for and nourished and sustained is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So then the one who realizes this, he worships him out of love. Out of the peak of love and the peak of surrender and submissiveness. Huh? Ghayatul hubbi ma'a ghayati al-dhulli wal-khudu'. Al-khudu' is any surrender and submission. That this is how he worships Allah Azza wa Jal. So whenever a believer he prays, he should pray in this manner. He should be in a state of where he is thinking about how much he loves his Lord. And the one who loves something, this requires two affairs. This necessitates two other actions. These are actions of the heart first and foremost. And this is where the ibadah is, the source of the ibadah. And the iman, and the heart, and in the creed, and in the belief. And then if this is correct, then the body likewise will comply in the manner which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. But the one who loves something, and he, in general love, it necessitates two things, and that is to have hope, to be near, and to have the love of the one of the beloved. Somebody who loves something or someone, he hopes that he will be able to be near that thing. And he hopes to have the love of that thing, or to benefit from his beloved, and to be near to him. And also he fears that he will be taken away from the one he loves, or that he would lose it, or that he would be taken away from it. So then to love, yani ghayatu al-hub, means along with this necessitates that he would have hope. He would have hope to be near the one he loves. That he would have hope to be near the one he loves, and likewise he will be afraid, and he will have fear to not be near him, to be away from him, or to be rejected by him, that he would not be accepted. So then we see again that to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, it requires love. It requires love. Even the ulama, they have clarified the difference between hamd and madh. To praise is that hamd is coupled with love. To just praise somebody because you want something from them, this is not called hamd. Or to praise because you're afraid of them, maybe, this is not called hamd. But to praise Allah Azza wa Jal out of love, this is ibadah. This is hamd. This is ibadah. So ibadah is coupled with love. And also that means that there's hope and there's fear. So this is the reality of a taqwa likewise. at the time of worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla with ikhlas, the heart is loving Allah and hoping for His reward and promise, and hoping for His aid and support, fearing that he will be rejected and not have that help and aid and support. So the actual state of worship, is a state whenever a person, his heart is full of love of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and his heart likewise is full of hope. Hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping in His reward and hoping in His promise, hoping in His aid and hoping in His support, hoping that He will accept him, hoping that He will be kind to him and guide him, hoping that He will direct him and protect him and keep him safe and his family, that he worships in this manner. And likewise, at the same time, there's fear. There's fear in the heart. The ulama, they mentioned that these are the pillars of the worship of the heart. And also the worship of the heart, this is the foundation and the soul of the ibadah. If the person is performing the action without his heart being present, then the action is very deficient. Very, very, very deficient. So this is the beginning, yani the first understanding of ibadah, is that it is the worship of the heart, that the heart is full of love for Allah. And this is because He's the Rabb. The Rabb of the Alameen. If we understand this, that everything that we have, for example, it's very beneficial to see. It's very beneficial to hear. All of this is a provision from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's very beneficial to speak. It's very beneficial to understand. It's a great act of kindness to be healthy and to have safety and security and the family. All of this, this is from the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whenever we realize this, then we see that all of this goodness that we have, then this causes a person to love. This makes a person, this is what he loves Allah Azza wa Jalla, because He is the Lord of the worlds. Everything that he has. And then on top of that, if he's guided to know Him, on top of having the blessing of health and wealth and security, he has the blessing of deen, he has the blessing of sunnah, then this is even greater reason for a believer to love Allah Azza wa Jalla, and for his heart to be full of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the Lord of the worlds. And then after that love, what does that necessitate? That he wants and he hopes to be near Him. He wants to have more of that. He wants to know Him more. He wants to know more about Allah Azza wa Jalla. He wants to be closer to Him. He hopes to have more help and aid from Him and the likes, and he's afraid that he will not. He's afraid he will not. This is worship. This is ibadah. This is how a believer, he seeks knowledge like this. Whenever he reads the books of knowledge, he loves Allah. He's hoping for the reward from Allah. Whenever he gives charity, all of this, his heart is like this. He's given charity hoping for the reward from Allah because he loves Allah and he wants Him to accept from Him. He wants Him to help him. He wants Him to guide him and to protect him. And he's afraid that he will not. He's afraid that what he's doing is not good enough. So this is how the believer, he worships Allah Azza wa Jalla like this. All of the actions, reading the Quran, whatever the case may be, it's done like this. Smiling to your brother. If you want it to be an act of worship, he does it out of love for Allah, not for the brother. Out of love for the Allah first. If he loves the brother, he loves him for the sake of Allah. Rather, the loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is for the sake of Allah. It's for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This understanding, Allah, He began His book in this manner. And He mentioned, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din. The ulama have derived these pillars of ibadah, of the heart, from these verses right here. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As I mentioned, the scholars, they say, the hamd is to praise and thank Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the type of praise that's coupled with love and magnification. Love and veneration and magnification, because He is the Lord of the worlds. Meaning everything that we have from the deen and from the dunya is from Him and from His blessing upon us. So then this causes the heart to love Him and to praise Him with love and magnification and veneration. And then after that, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions that He's the most gracious and He's the most merciful. So whenever a believer, he learns that his Lord, the one who created him and provided for him everything that he has, is kind and merciful. And He is described with mercy, a vast mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will cause the believer to hope for the mercy, to hope for whatever, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. If somebody says that he's the Lord of the worlds, what kind of Lord? What kind of lordship does he have? He has the lordship of mercy. The lordship of mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And then Allah, He mentioned after that, Maliki, Yawm al-Din, the master of the day of judgment. This right here will cause the heart to fear now. First, he's loving Allah because he's the Lord of the worlds and all of the good that he has. And then he realizes and understands that Allah, he is the most gracious and most merciful, and he's hoping for that mercy. And then Allah reminds in his book and he says he's the master of the day of judgment. And we know that we are returning to him and he will hold us accountable. So now he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what happened whenever the heart worship Allah like this. And whenever a person is really worshiping Allah, his heart is in this manner, going between love with love and going between hope and fear. And then after this, Allah, what did he say? What's the next verse? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Meaning with that love and that fear and that hope, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship. And how do we worship him? With love and with fear and with hope. That's the right. That this is in the Fatiha. That we, to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla without love, just to be moving, this is not considered really ibadah. This is not true ibadah. Just to bounce on the head on the floor like this and raise the hands and move like this. The soul of ibadah is not there. The life of ibadah is not there. The life of ibadah is in the heart. Whenever the person, his heart is worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla with love, with hope and with fear. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ يعني بِالْحُبِّ وَالرَّجَاءِ وَالْخَوْفِ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We seek your aid and your support. So this is the reality of the ibadah, يعني بمعنى التعبد. This is how a person is supposed to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah give us aid and help us to do this. But a person, he learns these things and now he has to strive against his soul to worship Allah like this. The other definition of ibadah is the definition of Ibn Taymiyyah, that's well known. That's a concise term that indicates everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from statement and action, apparent and hidden. And that's the action. But how are those actions and statements performed? With love and with hope and with fear. With love and with hope and with fear. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.